Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I can just see a very attractive picture of you and your little baby boy. Oh, I can see you now.
You see me now.
I see you now.
See me now. I really need to go and have a wash.
You went on a very long run today, didn't you, Harry?
I did. Nearly 9K.
That's very far. You should be very proud of yourself.
Oh, I used to run far all the time.
I know. It's...
But I think... But we're like, when you've got kids and stuff, you can't take them on a 9K run.
Can't, they moan, don't they?
moan. And I, like, when I take Idris with me on my bike, on his bike, and I run, and he, like, stops, or he wants to do his shoelace up, or he wants a drink, or I feel like I'm going, come on, yeah. you're ruining my time. And he's like that.
Yep.
Like looking at me like he's crazy, and then everybody else is looking at me like I'm crazy.
I know.
So it's quite nice today just to run. I'm going to do that once a week.
Yeah.
A long run and then two short runs.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing when the girls are with their dad, usually one day a week. I'm like, I'm going to go for a longer run and just...
Yeah.
Because it's nice just getting that headspace. And plus I can go over the nature reserve that I never knew existed that's
behind
my house.
And see Bambi.
Yeah, and look for Bambi. Again.
Weirdo. Yeah. So what number's this, Aim?
So do you know what, actually? I think this is number 19. But it's very...
Well.
We've got a well-clever bloke on.
Yeah, he is well-clever.
To talk about movies. He's got two masters, but we're going to talk about movies.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't just talk about
movies.
No, I
know, I'm only joking.
We talk about his life.
He's so interesting.
And we talk about... Yeah, and we talk about his son as well.
Yeah, he's
just had a little boy.
A little baby.
So that's good. We get to talk to a guy. It's quite nice.
Yeah, we don't talk to many men. It's because there's too many men.
Too many men. You do. You talk to a lot of men.
We need some more girls in here.
That's your problem.
I do talk to too many men. No, but it's a fellow podder from Flix Watcher.
Yeah.
So check out the podcast because it's really good. But he will... Tell us all about it in the podcast.
Yes, enjoy and give us some feedback.
Yes.
Tell us how we're doing.
Yes.
Tell us your favourite film if you like.
Yeah, that's
Netflix.
A good shout. Yeah, because we need suggestions. Well, I don't know, we might probably have done it by the time this comes out. But we're going on their one. Harry needs to pick a film.
Yeah, I did look up yesterday, but it just stresses me out, Netflix does. I'm not even joking. Like, the films you want are not fucking on there.
I know.
It's so annoying. And then, you know what? It's like, you put in the film you want, and it actually comes up with the name, and then you go down, and it gives you a suggestion.
Yeah.
You're not fucking helping, Netflix. You're not fucking helping me. You're just annoying me.
Yeah.
Bastards. Yeah. Well, listen and enjoy anyway.
Yes.
Toby's... Wonderful, amazing, and yeah, we get to go back, so we're well excited for that.
Yeah,
we're well
excited.
Up for that.
Whoop, whoop. Yep, yeah. So enjoy it. See you on the other side. Hello, Harry. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I've had a good day. How are you?
I'm very good because I had an amazing experience earlier.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I went for a run, and near where we live, there's like this nature reservey place, which is really bizarre because it's basically in between the A406 and the M11.
Yeah.
And I never knew it existed, and I've lived here for like 10 years. But anyway, I went for a little run, and there was no one about, and I saw a baby deer. It was just like out on the path.
Were you doing a microdot or some kind of hallucinogenic drug?
I haven't done any mushrooms. Ah. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I mean, I suppose obviously there is wildlife because it's like a wildlife place, but it's a deer.
Honestly, like... I'm really sorry to our wonderful guest, who is the wonderful Kobe. She's from Basildon.
I was going to ask where the M4 and M11 or wherever roads you said were, because I don't orientate around the country by numbers of
roads. Well, it's Essex.
East London. East London, Essex, yeah.
This is Essex! Right. It's close to Essex.
I'm 18, mate.
I'm IG8, mate. Yeah. Anyway, we have got a very bright button with us today. You are a... So when I did my research...
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I literally text Amy saying, fucking hell, this one's clever, isn't he?
Where did you... hold on. What research did you do on me?
You've got two masters.
Yeah.
I've got two... that's fine.
I haven't. Amy, how many masters...
I've got one. I've got a degree.
Oh, yeah. I've got one of them. But mine's in performing arts.
Yeah, same.
But the thing is, it just meant I spent more time at university. That's all it means. It means I was having a good time at university and decided to stay on. That's all that really
I know, but...
I'm just going to toss around for a bit longer.
You do seem like a clever... Like, when I've been reading, you do seem like a clever bunny to me.
I'm intrigued about the other research you found.
I'm like Miss Marple of the group. So Amy's the digital. Amy's like the one that knows about technology, and she does do a bit of social media, like a bit like you. But you know, I'm the Miss Marple. I'll get deep down, but that's obviously my job anyway in the day. So you've got too good.
We've got covered bases.
Definitely, I'd love to do that, wouldn't you? So so introduce us. Tell us about yourself.
My name is Kobe. I am. By night, I'm a podcaster, which is when we're meeting you right now. And by day, I am a digital marketer, a marketing guy, working with, I used to work with a fair few startups, but I work with one main company at the moment. But also, I think podcaster is where I'd like to naturally see myself. That's how I meet you guys.
Yes.
People like you.
How long have you been doing the podcast?
My first podcast, I guess like 5 years. First podcast... the first podcast I did was, it's still online, but I don't record anymore now because, and I did that because I now am a digital marketer, but I came from doing something completely different and I just thought, I don't know how to get into this industry. So what I'm going to do is like interview people who are big in the industry. And when you say, hey, can I podcast with you? And they're like, I'll have a conversation with you. And that really helped me kind of spur on, get into the line of work that I do, which I really super enjoy.
That's a really good idea.
It is. Yeah. What kind of podcast is it?
You are clever
anyway, Kobe. What kind of podcast is it?
It was just me speaking with another marketing bod, asking about their life and tips and tricks for myself and other people who are listening, which wasn't many. but it was really good fun. And then the next podcast I started, which what most people know me for, is Flix Watcher podcast, which I do with my co-host Helen. And we get other podcasters, and you guys have to join us. And two guests on each episode, and each of the guests pick a film from Netflix, and we talk about it. And it's as simple as that. And
I love that. It's so simple.
Yeah, so super simple. And we just say to, our potential listeners, if you've ever struggled to find a film on Netflix, which is everyone.
God, yeah.
Then listen to our podcast to get ideas and get insight from people who like film but aren't necessarily like film critics. So we don't go into minutiae of I don't know. Yeah, because
that's what I was a bit worried about. I said to Amy, if he's going to start quizzing me about films, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this one. Because I'm not like, you know, I said, like, my film knowledge is like, you know, kind of gone with the wind and stuff like that. I like the old stuff. I'm not very good with the new stuff.
We get a lot of people who like come on with their partner or friend, and they're like, I don't know how to talk about film, but you'll be like, yeah, but you've seen films, right? Haven't you? So that's all you need to know.
Yeah,
exactly. Just talk about it.
But that's a really good concept, because the one issue I have with my children is like, we'll sit down overnight and we'll be like, right, we'll watch a film tonight, and we literally spend half an hour going through all the different streaming services. Like, we can never agree on one.
I'm going to help you guys out right now. There's a streaming. There's a website called Just Watch.
Just Watch. And
Watch. And there's an app as well for it. Yeah. And if you go on Just Watch, and you can select whichever streaming services you have, so Netflix, Amazon Prime, Now TV, Sky, whatever, and you can put the name of the film or TV show in it, and it'll tell you if it's on any of those platforms in one fell swoop.
That has changed my life.
That's good.
It's amazing. Definitely. Just watch.
Maybe we could just have a hotline to you instead.
Yeah. Well, you can do. A lot of people do just like drop me a message. Hey, Kobe, what's good to watch today?
Exactly. What does a 6 year old? Yeah, we could just do. What does a 6 year old like? And what does a 44 year old like?
6 year old Moana. If you've got Disney Plus, 44 year old, I'd say. Well, let's go for Inglourious Basterds. Why not? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've tried to get my son to watch The Fast and the Furious. Not that I really like those kind of films, but, you know, I thought, oh, he might like the kind of speed and the kind of action. He keeps going to me, Mum, could you stop it? Can you stop it now? Please stop it. I'm like, it's Fast and the Furious 105. Do you want to watch it? He's like, no, I don't even want to watch The Fast and the Furious.
How old is he?
Six. He's six.
It might be a bit much. It's a bit much for adults. Yeah. But for a 6 year old, you're like,
don't want to
watch
it.
What's going on exactly?
No, I know.
How did you come up with the idea of it? Do you love film?
Yeah, big film fan. And myself and my co-host Helen are on a film quiz team. That's how we met. And I've been absorbing podcasts for years. And I just kind of thought, I really want to do a film podcast, but I just want to make it. We want to do it different to every other film podcast, which is about recent releases. Helen came up with the idea of doing something on a streaming service. So it meant that it was something that everyone, if they wanted to watch the film, could listen to it as well. Because a lot of people watch films but don't get a chance to go to the cinema. So it made sense that way as well.
Yeah.
And it also meant for us that we didn't have to like be, you know, there on Friday morning watching the latest film to tell people. It just meant we could give them more... more relaxing for ourselves to record the shows as well. So it was just a few different things came together and made the show. So it's really cool. It's really cool how it all came together, I think.
And I think right now, where we've been in lockdown for like 4 months, I've said this on another podcast, I literally I've got to the stage now where I can't look at Amazon Prime or Netflix. It fills me. I like get hives because it's like, It drives me nuts. And then Amy's sister has started to compile a list of all the, you know, top Netflix films or episodes or documentaries that people keep saying, oh, I like that. So she's compiled this amazing list. I'm just going to stick with that because honestly, it just drives you nuts, doesn't it? But I mean, that there's a positive side to it, and that's you know, I've been able to sit down and watch things with my son, and we have movie nights, and we have, you know, a chance to like kind of sit and do something together, which is a really nice moment. I think it's like downtime, and it's stuff you can do as a family. It's quite nice.
Yeah. Can you imagine what this would have been like when we were kids, with our four TV channels? The kids' programs were on like 4 o'clock, weren't they, for 2 hours, and then that's it.
It would have been insane, because as a kid, and this is something I feel sorry for current kids, not just before lockdown, but as a kid, I used to be, especially in the summer holidays, I'd wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd run around for like 12 hours, come back, get some food, run around for another 3 hours and then go to bed.
Yeah.
And the fact that you, you can't do that now. It's just, for me, I feel so sorry for...
God, you sound like my son.
Yeah.
I call him Tigger because he literally... he just
bounces around.
He just does not stop. He can't stop. He can't stop.
So where are you from? Because that's not a London accent, is it?
Now I'm from Manchester.
Manchester.
So is that Yorkshire? Or
No!
Yorkshire.
Oh, my God. Basildon schooling again, I'm afraid. Educational.
What's going on? What is going on here?
Oh,
Manchester,
Jesus.
Manchester. Manchester's great to Manchester.
Just Manchester.
Yorkshire's Yorkshire. Like Jesus.
I didn't do geography. My degree isn't in geography.
Thank God for that. Thank God for that.
Do you need degree level knowledge to know where Manchester is, though? I don't know.
No, that's... I do not. I've been to Manchester. Both of my nieces are at Manchester University. I've been there a few times.
Oh, I love you, great. Amy.
It is. I like Manchester.
So I've got family in Manchester. Stockport, Altrincham.
Stockport.
Cheshire.
That's where I'm from, Stockport.
Oh, you're from Stockport. That's where my granddad's from as well. So, oh, okay.
Whereabouts in Stockport? Do you know the name?
I don't actually.
The village.
I'll tell you offline. Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
And my uncle, they live in Bury, so all around that area. Amy,
Stockport.
Amy's looking really confused right now. She's like,
up north.
Bless her. And so you've also had something very exciting happen during this period, haven't you? So in April, was it? You had a little baby boy, is that correct?
We did do, yeah, Milo.
Milo!
I love that name.
Spelled M-Y-L-O.
I saw that,
that's
yes.
That's my godson. That's how they spell his one.
Oh.
Is he a Milo as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know.
Oh, fantastic. Y makes it better, you know.
Exactly. So how was the whole, were you at the birth?
Mm.
Could you be there?
Sorry, yeah, it was, so I guess we were the kind of the first wave of people who... Well, went through the pregnancy experience through lockdown.
Mm,
so we like, I think it was like March the 16th, we were about to go to our third NCT group, which is in person. And then suddenly Boris said, pregnant women are a risk. And then that was it, bosh. And then we all kind of locked in from there. So then everything changed. So luckily we'd gone through all the, my wife Sarah and I had gone through all of the scans and things like that. So we did all that in person. Where I know now people who are recently found out they're pregnant, it's only one person can go to those sessions, which is really tough, especially if it's your first kid. And
Totally.
I feel super sorry for those guys.
Yeah.
Because it's great seeing what was Milo just as a blob wriggling around inside mum. Up until the birth, we just didn't know how it was going to play out. Could I be in there for how long?
Yeah.
Was she going to have to be in there by herself and do all this? And, you know, at no point was there any question that I wasn't going to be in there until it wasn't like the 60s. So until Boris said pregnant women are at risk. So it just became like a massive period of uncertainty. But yeah, luckily I was allowed to go in like literally for 5 minutes before and then stayed until for a bit afterwards and then got kicked out.
Oh my gosh.
It was a bit crazy.
Oh, what, so straight away? You couldn't stay after the birth?
I could stay for a couple of hours until she moved out of the pregnancy room.
Yeah.
That's when I had to move into...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when she moved into general population, I guess.
How long was she in hospital for?
2 days it ended up being.
Okay.
Yeah. But the birth was quite quick.
Yeah.
The birth itself was really quick. But then
really?
Just in. Yeah. Like 5 hours altogether.
My God.
Labour.
God.
Was it 7 hours?
That's amazing.
So your wife is going to kill you when she hears this. She's going to say, easy delivery, 7 fucking hours. You fucking go through it then. You bloody go through it. 7 hours? That sounds like hard work.
Oh,
I didn't say easy.
And how were you?
How did you feel?
First birth you were at.
Yeah, totally. It was just kind of been super insane because suddenly... There was this extra little person in the room who'd been inside my wife for the past, well, knowingly, well, interacting with us through her stomach for the past, like, 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd been aware of him for 9 months up until then. And, you know, when he comes out, it's just like, sorry, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just super crazy.
And how have you been through this period? How's it felt to have a sort of new baby, being in a home together in close proximity for at least 4 months? How's it been?
Have you been going to the shop a lot?
Have you slept?
I've had to make a couple of trips to the shops, but it's super strange because since lockdown, I've been working from home.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of like fine. That's been great. And then, you know, since Milo's been born, it's meant that when I would be going back to work, in 2 weeks after he's born, then I'm here like every day, and yeah. I'm still trying to maintain the, look, I'm in work mode, but it does still mean that if Sarah needs me, then I can definitely help out.
Yeah.
And we're trying to coordinate, like, I've got a busy day, like Tuesday for me, it's just call to call, back to back to back. So, that tends to be a day I can't help out so much, but then, you know, Thursday or Friday means this can be a bit more fluid. And if she needs a nap, then I can maybe go for a walk for him during the day and stuff like that. So it's been really, really cool in that respect.
Yeah.
And in a way that we wouldn't have had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before. So it's really, you know, we've been quite lucky. We're both still in work. Obviously, Sarah's on maternity leave.
Yeah.
But we both still have income, and we just moved into a nice new flat. You know, the biggest problem we had is that we couldn't get a Tesco delivery for a while. Yeah. So.
And have your...
Which is a real problem.
Oh, no, it is a real problem. Have both your families seen Milo? Have they met Milo?
No, this is where the downsides start to happen, because they're both up in the northwest.
Okay. Amy doesn't know where that is. I'm sorry.
Leeds?
Leeds is north. Just north.
I know.
Leeds is Yorkshire.
Yorkshire, yeah. See? I was going to say that. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I've been there as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's the only thing, is it? Because my cousin's had a baby and her mum's got COPD. So obviously she's extremely high risk. That's like emphysema, but not quite as bad.
Yeah.
So she's not been able to see her new baby, which she had at the end of March, I think she had here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's been shit.
So the experiences I'm saying to you are similar to them then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just... For you, I was going to say it's been quite good for you, really, because normally you would have gone back to work, wouldn't you, probably after a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I know things are changing now and some companies are getting a bit more relaxed with paternity, but you've really been there, haven't you? So you've seen all the changes. And
yeah.
I mean, it's still, nice. The paternity thing still is by and large, extended paternity is still by and large rare in the UK.
Yeah.
And it still would have been like a 2 week and would have felt... Yeah. Yes, time to go back to work now. I guess that's been the biggest kind of blessing in a way.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, every time I speak to my mum, she's absolutely gutted that she's not held him yet. And seen him in real life and stuff like that. So.
Have you got plans to see them?
We haven't got any fixed plans yet, because we don't know, like, where to stay. Can we stay in their place? And I don't want to go there. We don't want to go there and be, you know, not be for her. For her not to be able to pick him up.
That's worse, isn't
it? You couldn't do it. There's no way in the world your mum is going to see that baby and not go anywhere near him.
No.
Exactly.
Definitely.
We don't want to make that, give her that hard decision of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just stand outside.
Yeah, exactly. Hiya.
Hiya.
We've driven 4 hours.
Yeah.
Driven 4 hours for you to see him from through the window, and now we're going to drive back again. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. And how have you managed sort of working and having a new baby? Because that's quite difficult as well. I know that I work for a local authority, and lots of the guys on the team who've had, you know, new babies have kind of split their maternity, which is quite a new thing. I didn't know you could do that. So they split their paternity leave with their partner's maternity leave, which is quite a nice way of doing it. So men have had, or fathers have had, long periods with their babies, which I think is really important. But I guess for you, you're trying to work, still maintaining that daily kind of interaction, and you've got a new baby, and it's all new. So it's new working from home in lockdown, new with a new baby. Obviously, the relationships change as well between, you know, mum and dad. It's like dynamics are all out the window. You're really up against it. How have you managed? Alcohol?
I guess it's just... Actually, I've really come to appreciate like zero alcohol beers, because you get the feeling of like you're drinking something. It's not necessarily being the drunk or feeling tipsy at the time, yeah, which is not good when you want to handle a baby. Yeah. But it's like the next morning when you've not had full rest, yeah, as much rest as possible.
Yeah.
That's the bit where you're just like, I need to not drink for a bit until things are settled down. But there's lots and lots of really good zero alcohol beers at the moment, which I really generally enjoy. Yeah. So sometimes I have them anyway, just as like a refreshing. I have them like in the morning.
Do you?
Really? Yeah, I really like the taste of them. I'm there with my cereal and having a alcohol free life.
Put it on your cornflakes.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's all. I mean, it's a lot of this is new anyway. Yeah. So it's, I think it's just grin and bear it. Just get on with it. And the main benefits we have is I don't have the commute.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't have to like get up super early, get ready, be out the door, and then come back, and then, you know, have the 45-minute commute on the way back and decompress, and then play with Milo at this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I need to be online at 9 o'clock, then I could be prancing around or doing stuff until literally like 5 to 9, yeah, and then I check in.
Yeah.
That's if he lets us do that. if he's not breaking down or anything, but. Again, that's another super positive that we wouldn't have the benefit of.
No.
So going forward, do you think you'll be working more from home? Is that something that's... Have you got your own company or you're employed?
Contracting through another company. Yeah.
Okay. So is that
full time with another company? Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, totally. And to be honest, they were quite lenient before anyway. Because the guys that founded it, one of them's got 2 kids. One of them's got a place in Italy, so he was trying to spend more time over there anyway. But I always felt like, I kind of want to be in the office to have that kind of work-life divide a bit. So, but going forwards, I see the benefits of being here, and that's really, really beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll try and go back into office like once a week, twice a week, if it makes sense to. And then it's almost like having the best of both worlds.
But I think that is the best of both worlds. Like, I know that Amy's used to working from home. That's because that's the area that she works in, and that's her job. For me, I work for a local authority. I have a child, and I'm excited to go back one or two days a week. But actually, I feel like I miss out on so much because I'm commuting and I'm working, and then I have to put my son in an after school club and a breakfast club. And sometimes he just doesn't want to go. Sometimes he wants to, you know, go on a trampoline for half an hour. And it's like, I can't let you do it because I've got to take you to Breakfast Club. And then I've got to get on the A406. And then I've got to get into work. And then I've got a meeting. And you've got so many things going on in one day that actually it's quite nice now to be working from home. But with the sort of, I guess with the caveat that you can go back to work and have all that, you know, interaction with your colleagues. And I think it is important for human interaction when you're working on projects.
Oh,
you know, it's great. It's fab. But I don't want to see you for 5 days a week. Like, I'm cool with that. Do you know what I mean?
I know we've had a couple of new starters at our company since, and they've only ever known us virtually.
Yeah.
And that's super tough to like onboard them and like get them through things, because we have to schedule meetings to have an hour. By the way, this is what our company does.
Yeah.
This is where you fit in. Here's the file structure where things are happening. Whereas, you know, I don't know where these guys live.
No.
Because we've never had that interaction. It's been, hey, your name's Mark.
Yeah.
Good to meet you. Anyway, this is where the files are that you need. Does your email work okay? Is your computer okay? Fine. Okay. I'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And that's the kind of odd interaction.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what tea or coffee they take.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That kind of simple.
So what are your... Oh, go on. No, it's all right. Go.
I was just going to say, what are your masters in then?
Oh, crumbs.
Two, so I'm assuming that they're not...
Shall I tell you? No, I'm joking.
That's a bit of a rod. You guys can't see this, who's listening, but you got a bit of a rod.
I have got a bit of a rod. I'm very excited. Only because I know I got it right. I was like that. Oh, my God. Oh my God, he's got one. Oh my God. Go on, tell us what you got. Go on, knock the listeners off their seats.
I've got a master's in chemical engineering and a master's in social media.
Oh, wow. That's really different.
I know.
Isn't it? So you're clever in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why keep it? Why, you might as well do something completely different.
Totally.
So how did you go from... So the chemical engineering one was first, I assume.
It was, yes. Yeah.
So is that what you wanted to do when you were little?
What do you want to be, Kobe? I want to work.
I want to be a chemical engineer.
Yeah. I
want to
work in gas.
My mum would have been like, "What? What is that?"
Gas and oil, please.
I guess at school I was just kind of good at sciences. So it was like engineering is quite good.
Yeah.
Makes more sense. I initially wanted to do just like biology. But looking at engineering made it kind of fit in together. Made a sense to have a proper job out of the other side, which is what good parents want you to have a proper job when you go to university. Yes. I guess.
Clearly not our parents, though. Clearly not our parents didn't give a flying fuck.
That's why I did sociology, because I did drama. I did sociology as well, so I could get a job.
And I did performing arts.
Obviously sociology.
I did performing arts, so that's like...
Look at us now.
Look at us now. We are podcasters.
Yeah, so what did you do then as a chemical engineer?
Every time someone asked me this, it was like, and as you ask me now, it's such a hard thing to explain.
Yeah.
But essentially, I worked in oil and gas and I helped kind of design the... Have you heard of distillation columns?
Yeah.
Nope,
exactly.
We knew that Amy wouldn't have known anything about that. She didn't even know where fucking Yorkshire is.
So distillation columns, you have the crude oil, they have the super dark dirt oil or gas that comes out of the sea, comes out a tube, and we have to clean it up because it comes out with lots of crap in it, like sulfur and all its explosive stuff, and we clean it all up and then separate it into things like petrol and ethane and methane, which is the gas that you use for cooking, which the gas is used for cooking and stuff like that, and then and split it out. So I designed the processes that did the kind of splitting up the oil and gas.
Wow.
Told you he was clever. Told you, didn't I tell you he was clever?
But it's fun. I kind of enjoyed it. And then I worked in Norway with a company for 3 years doing that, which is...
Oh, whereabouts in Norway?
In Bergen.
I've been to Bergen. Bergen is beautiful. I've got some really good friends. They're actually my youngest daughter's godfathers that are Norwegian.
Oh, nice.
Should we ask her whether that's in north, south, east or west?
I was going to ask if you knew...
I believe is on the west coast, is it?
It is.
Ooh!
We got a train from Oslo to Bergen. Yeah. We did that thing. And it's just... Well, Norway is just absolutely breathtaking, isn't it? It's just the most beautiful place. And then we flew back from Bergen, I think. But I think the runway was on like a cliff. Like, literally, it was the scariest flight I've ever been on. Ever. But yeah,
I don't remember the cliff. I've flown from there many times. I don't remember the cliff.
She's on acid. She was on acid again, I think, at that point.
I was on a lot of things at that point. So maybe I don't believe that bit. But yeah, Norway is lovely. So you were in Bergen for 3 years. It's daytime the whole time in the summer. And then how did you handle the winters?
Because
I was there in the summer and that was a bit freaky, but I thought, I don't mind that, but I don't think I could do the night thing.
So, I mean, obviously the benefit for me was that I come from Manchester, so we're used to the rain.
Yeah.
And honestly, every time I spoke to someone from Bergen, that's the first time, like, where are you from? I'm from Manchester. You get more rain than we do.
Yeah.
So there's this like table of rainiest cities, and Bergen and Manchester almost like flip, they go toe to toe with each other.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm from Wales, so that bloody rains all the time.
Yeah. just the whole of Wales is just wet.
Wet all the time.
And then, I just literally learned to dress properly.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're from the north of England, we tend to go out. I mean, I went to Sheffield University, and I remember leaving my house once to go out on a night out, and it started snowing, and I was in a t-shirt and jeans, and just thought, nah, that's fine, and just proceeded to go out for the rest of the night with a t-shirt and jeans, and you know, you do that in Norway, and then you just will not survive, you'll just die, frostbite straight away.
Yeah.
But you just wear proper clothes, and it became fine, and my biggest concern was like, will I be able to go running in the winter?
Yeah.
And they're like, just wear the proper running clothes in the winter, and it's absolutely fine. So it made me a lot better at like doing stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so you were in Bergen for 3 years, and then was it there that you thought, sod this, I'm going to do social media.
So I was actually, I was doing the course, I was doing a master's course whilst I was working in Norway. So I used to fly back to Manchester.
Oh my gosh.
Do the master's degree stuff for a couple of days a month. And it was just like full on for 2 days. And then I go away and do all the work like remotely.
Golden.
So it was really kind of intense because it's like,
yeah, I bet.
Learning a new language, being in Norway, doing this degree course, being in a whole new place at the same time was just like,
yeah,
crazy, crazy fun times. Actually, really enjoyed it.
So your social media is because I read a little bit about you. You do some social media for some startups, and I saw some charities there. You did. Work for which she did some work for a maths charity, was it maths?
Yeah, maths charity. I can't remember the name of them though.
No, improving maths in primary school. I'm a socioeconomic, that's my day job, so that's why I kind of honed in on that one. Just for the social media sort of stuff that you do for startups, I find quite interesting, only because I know a lot of startups, and I think that's something that I think that's definitely an area that people lack when they go into these amazing ideas of business, and that's their field, and yet the social media side is really detached, and it's like an afterthought, and it's something that I guess people get quite, well, it's just a bit confusing, isn't it? Because it's, you know, it's like
it can totally be. And the thing is, you can have a super amazing idea, but if you can't market it to people, then no one's going to see it.
No
one's going to buy it. And that's obviously, it's a really big thing. And some of the most successful companies I work with are companies where they've understood that from, even if they haven't had a marketing team in there, that the marketing has to be part of everyone's plan within the company, whether you're like the super techie development person or the highfalutin CEO who's got all the madcap ideas of where we've got to do. It's still got to go. Everyone has to pitch into the marketing side of things. And if it is an afterthought, then it's a difficult thing to pull back.
Yeah. I mean, even you know, like if you look at like Facebook and Instagram and social media has changed quite a lot over the years. And, you know,
it's insane,
It's business, isn't it? And it's there to make money. And and that's just the nature of it. I mean, I work with, so my partner has got a jewellery company in Hatton Gardens, and that's one of the areas that he's struggled with. It's just mind-blowing how he's extremely clever. He's got an amazing brand. He's, his craftsmanship is, off the chain. And yet the thing that he can't quite get the hang of is that marketing, social media, the algorithms, and he says to me all the time, just it's like, oh, well, I don't need it. And I go, yeah, you do need it. You do need it. I guess it's like if you don't have any specialism in that area, then you just get, shut it off. It's like, oh, well, can't do it, won't do it.
It's, if other people are doing it, then you definitely need it. That's the thing. You need to make sure you're I guess at least competing on the same playing field as other people. And if he's there, there's 100 companies in Hatton Garden, and one person's advertising on social media and doing it well, then they're naturally going to get a lot more of the people coming towards him. And you know, he'll still have his regular customers, and he'll still have the referrals, which is great. But still, you know, with the social media nowadays, when I first started, it wasn't really that kind of paid channel where you would advertise on Facebook. Yeah. Facebook was still very much you don't pay anything and there's no adverts on there. But it's a whole different ball game. And it can be very powerful for companies.
Totally.
You can really penetrate that way.
Yeah.
In ways that you couldn't do before. So it can make or break companies. Yeah. And that's when, to make it political, companies talking about, even like Coca-Cola not advertising on Facebook, it's super powerful, and I completely applaud them. But also, it's going to be hurting their bottom line. It's going to be hurting their revenue because they're not front and center in front of a lot of places where people are hanging out online nowadays.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I question how long those guys aren't going to be on Facebook for, if it affects how much revenue they take.
Yeah,
yeah.
then at some point they're going to go, yeah, we need to go back on there because we still need to make money. As much of a shame as it is.
Yeah.
And that's why Mark Zuckerberg isn't scared.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, you'll come back because you need us.
Yeah, totally.
He doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
And I saw, sorry, Ames, I saw on your post that you'd said that you were not going to share pictures of Milo on your social media. So I kind of, although I do once in a while put my son up there, I kind of agree that, well, I have a friend. I guess I've listened. I had a friend who had a beautiful little girl, and she posted a picture on Facebook.
Mm.
And then several years later, this picture appeared in really unsavory places. And,
oh, wow.
And they'd mapped and they'd mapped where it had gone, and it had changed hands several times. And it was one picture. And it was one picture, and she was about, I don't know, 3 or 4. She was young. And since I heard that, and that was years ago, I said to myself, there are certain things that I won't post on social media, and there are certain situations that I won't post either. Because... Not that I'm scared about where it's going to go necessarily. That is a consideration, but I just don't want people to know everything about me.
I couldn't fully explain why we've decided not to do that, but I'm. I don't know. Maybe the part of it's the slight annoyance, and when people have got a new baby and that's all they post, or they have got a new dog and that's all they post.
Yeah.
but I think part of it is because I don't know what the world's going to be like in 18 years' time. When Milo's going to be like wanting his own kind of identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, but everyone knows me because of that stupid picture you posted of me when we went to Disneyland and I was like crying.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I want him to be able to form his own
like
identity going forward, which I think for me is probably one of the biggest parts of it.
My kids are fucked.
They really are. I mean,
I post everything.
Everything is on Amy's social media and all the reminders as well. I mean, that's the scary thing about Facebook is not only do you post a picture, then a year later it pops up with a reminder. It's like, oh my God, it's fucking annoying.
But it is. But then in some ways that can be really lovely. But then in other ways it can also be awful. And it's really annoying when you join a gym and they do a competition for you to check in to win a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then you have to check in more times to get a hoodie, and then you're really pig-headed and you think, right, I'm going to check in every day for 100 days so I get my hoodie. And then every single day on Facebook, you get a reminder about when you checked in. Yeah, that's really annoying. And that's karma as well for pissing off all of my friends.
That is karma.
We've all been there, Amy. We've all been there.
Hello. We've all been there. So if we go back to the podcast, I know we're going to take you around the houses, but that's just the way...
I'm just being led by you guys.
Yeah, that's just the way that me and Amy... That's just the way that me and Amy work, I think. That's our brain. You don't want to know any further.
Yeah.
But if we go back to the podcast and sort of talking about films and Netflix and Amazon. What are some of the really good sort of films that have come out of Netflix over the last 12 months in your opinion?
Are you talking about Netflix originals?
Is there a difference?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because Netflix has its own distribution.
Why don't you explain that, though? Because I think people don't know about that. Come on, Kofi.
Okay, well, there's kind of three ways. Well, let's just talk about films and not TV shows. So there's kind of three ways it happens. One is that they'll just buy a film like When Harry Met Sally, which exists and people can see it, and or all the Marvel films, and then just plop that straight on Netflix.
Okay.
And that's there for you to see if you want to see it. Then there's the second category where there's been a film made and it's doing the festival rounds and everyone's like really buzzed and excited about it, but they can't quite find out how to... and then it becomes like a bidding war, actually. Different companies are trying to work out how to distribute it. And Netflix is now one of these companies that kind of goes, I like your film.
Yeah.
We're going to buy it. It's only going to be on Netflix. And that's bosh. And then there's the third category when now Netflix starts to making their own films and saying, right, here's a load of money for you. Make this film. Do what you want with it. And it's going to be on Netflix when it lands.
Yeah.
And they're kind of three kind of broad categories of Netflix. And Amazon Prime would do a similar kind of thing as well, I believe, although I don't really know their business model as well.
Yeah.
Um, films that have come out, and you just want Netflix films.
Yeah, go okay. on. Go on, give us a read.
So Netflix.
Yeah.
That's
Netflix
hard.
Films.
Come on.
Yeah. Uncut Gems.
Yes, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely Adam Sandler.
I'm writing this down. Okay.
Write good. That down. And they did, it was the Al Pacino and Robert De Niro.
I was going to say The Irishman yeah. is a big one there.
Okay.
So did that come out at the cinema? Do they do anything at the cinema?
Yeah.
That was at the cinema, wasn't it, for like a couple of weeks or something?
So what they do, because they still want to, because they're making amazing films.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Irishman's a 3-hour Scorsese film.
Yeah.
3.5-hour Scorsese film. They still want to be eligible for awards, and to be eligible for like the Oscars, you have to have shown in the theatre
right,
for
yes,
like, 7
yeah.
days.
Okay.
So they'll do it, but
plus,
you know, you don't
nice
have
to see things in the cinema. I love
absolutely.
Going to the cinema. That's the biggest thing I miss about having children.
Oh, that's going to say the biggest thing
go
about
to
lockdown.
The cinema anyway. No. I mean, I'm used to. I don't go anymore. It's very rare okay. that I'll go to the cinema apart from to see a kid's.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Which I don't mind because I actually quite like kids' films, so that's
yeah.
all right. But
yeah.
Well, there's kids' films and there's kid films, isn't there?
Yeah, so there like is.
When I, my wife and I will go see all the Pixar films
yeah.
and maybe cherry pick the Disney one. So like Moana is one of my outright favourite films of
yeah.
like the past
10 years.
Yeah,
we can tell that.
Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah. It's a good film.
It is a good film.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
But yeah, going to the cinema is great, and I missed that. And I was one thing I was looking forward to. One of the downsides I was looking forward to going to the parent and baby screenings
oh, yeah.
with Milo, which is something we can't do because cinemas
yeah.
aren't open.
No.
As we record this, they hopefully are opening. Whether people
yeah.
go or not is a different thing.
I think they will. I really hope that people support theatres
yeah,
and
I'm
cinemas,
mm.
even if it's on a you know a completely smaller, safer scale, as they keep saying, how that will work, I don't know. But they can work it out. You've
got to be alert.
I mean, they've got pubs open. I mean, you saw on Saturday, obviously. This
I know, that's insane.
Jeepers,
yeah.
creepers, they're all sitting on each other's laps, like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Singing in each other's faces. I thought that was the first thing they weren't allowed to do. So it feels like that a cinema or a theatre or a space, you know, a comedy show, you know, there are lots of steps you can take so that there is social distancing and there is...
Before lockdown
you know,
happened, I think it was in Canada, they were saying that they'd have, like, one seat between
yeah.
people. So, but, I mean, that was before everything kind
yeah.
of got crazy.
I think
they could always do
back.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, we've got a little local cinema. We live in South Woodford and we've got a little local cinema and I'm definitely going to go and support that because I think that's one
yeah.
of the struggles anyway because it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
as
yeah.
busy. But it's so handy because I can
yeah.
walk
yeah.
there.
Well, there's iconic cinemas like the Rio in Hackney that do some, you know, pretty
yeah.
kind of amazing foreign films and, you know, that's in threat of, that was in threat before and now can you imagine now? It's just like, all these really iconic places are going to really be hit hard. It's quite sad.
You've got to support the cinemas.
Absolutely. Support your local cinema.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, the big guys in Leicester Square, I think they'll be fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Example. But yeah, your smaller ones, Yeah, definitely. If you can do, give them.
Yeah.
I mean, join their membership schemes, for example, and even if you can't make it as much as you can do, for that once or twice a year when you can do, then make it really special.
So, absolutely. Right, let's go back anyway, because I've got my pen and my paper. We've got Uncut Gems. What else?
Oh, okay, back to the list. And you just want Netflix films?
Yeah, I just want things to watch, to be honest. Not just kids.
Just stuff on Netflix.
Yeah.
Stuff on Netflix. Fine. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, our highest on our podcast on FlixWatch, we and the guests, we rate the films.
Okay.
And our highest rated film is When Harry Met Sally.
Really?
Yeah.
When Harry Met Amy.
we should do that.
Oh, we could remake it.
We could. I think I've only seen that once, and that was probably 20 years ago.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix at the moment, so it's a really fun, easy watch.
Kids watch that, or not really, because she has the fake orgasm, doesn't she?
Well, it's not even that. I mean, I remember watching as a kid and just not understanding it, so they might just be bored. And that's one comment I make in that episode, is that I watched it and thought, I like Billy Crystal, but he's not funny. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, he's
really funny. Understand the references. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So just be bored. Is it Blazing Saddles? Is that the one where they go to the cowboy ranch?
That's one, yeah.
I love how she says it. Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. I watched that with the girls the other day. 90s films and 80s films are so incredibly sexist and racist, and it's just like
homophobic and
they really
are. Like, you can't believe how bad it was, considering it wasn't that long ago.
No,
because you kind of brace yourself nowadays. Yeah. I'm like, should I press play on Ace Ventura? No, you shouldn't, because that's horrific.
Totally.
It's scary.
Some things you can kind of compartmentalize and say that was how it was at the time. But some things are just like, let's not.
There are some things that you need to just say, no, absolutely, I'm not going to watch that. I've got a mixed heritage child, and there are some things, I don't want him to ever watch or ever see, because it's really important for him at 6 years old, even if he gets a glimpse of it on Netflix, because he's got the controller after all. That I don't want him to see, I don't want him to know certain things right now. It's not for him to know that.
But that's the same with like my parents. It wasn't my parents. I went to visit someone when I was a lot younger. And for some reason, my parents would let me watch like RoboCop and stuff when I was like seven. But then I was at my friend's house, at our cousin's house, I think it was, and we were watching The Terminator. And it's all fine, and then suddenly it's like, fast forward through one scene, and then it's all fine again. And I never knew what that scene was until I was like 18 and watched it again. I was like, oh, they fast forwarded through a sex scene.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? So they're happy with like faces being blown off and swearing, but then
they're
like,
not
a natural
sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a nipple.
A nipple.
How dare you?
I remember covering my face or with a pillow or my hand. If anybody started kissing on the TV, and my son Idris, he's a little bit like the same. I've noticed he gets a bit, he gets a bit uncomfortable. He doesn't quite like it. And if he sees something like a woman with a bikini on or something, he goes, "Mum, can't she put clothes on?" And I go, "Okay." So it's
it is kind of weird how. Obviously, sex. Obviously, you want to introduce people to it at the right time.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anyone's. I've never seen anyone shoot anyone in real life.
No.
And that's more acceptable.
Yes.
Than seeing people who like exist in real life as naked people.
Yeah.
Even if it for me, that's. I can understand why you wouldn't limit that, but also.
Yeah.
Your face being blown off is a lot worse.
Oh God, yeah,
100%.
Yeah, and the language that's been used as well, and the sort of terminology is really quite graphic sometimes. I mean,
it can be, but also again, there's TV shows like The Walking Dead, where you'll see the worst deaths, but no one will swear once.
Okay,
because that's
oh
the
my
thing
God.
That the
they don't swear in The Walking Dead.
No, they don't swear in The Walking Dead. They don't swear in Breaking Bad.
Oh, no, they don't. Not in Breaking Bad, yeah.
And these things, these got horrible scenes. The storylines are really dark. But yeah. Swearing is like...
Why don't they swear?
Because apparently the advertisers don't like it, but they're happy for drugs to be sold and happy for zombies to bite someone's face off.
Wow, that is amazing. That's why you've got two masters, isn't it? Because you know all these clever things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I read that once somewhere.
I kind of never really realised that before. That's amazing.
It is, and I think those things have to go hand in hand. I know, you know, if you watch things like The Hunger Games, where there's quite brutalistic killings of kids, and they kind of hide the blood and they kind of hide it a bit. I can understand that. And also there's no swearing. But when you are literally seeing tendons being pulled out of people's necks and you're not, the language doesn't kind of tally with that. I find that.
Yeah, that's weird.
I never noticed. I never picked up on that.
Yeah.
But that's because, I guess that's strange, isn't it? Cool.
Totally.
Wow. Okay. What's your favourite film? Or what's your favourite Netflix kind of original? What's yours?
My favourite Netflix original is probably Roma.
Roma?
Which is a bit intense. It's a black and white film, Spanish, Mexico. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. And I wish, it's one of those films where I wish I'd seen that in the cinema over, you know, my TV screen.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Has it got subtitles?
I've got a really bad memory.
It's got subtitles.
I struggle with subtitles. Okay, so it's like my brain doesn't catch up with the picture, and then I've got to read it, and then I've got to look up. I'm blind as a bat. I can't. It's just I can multitask, but that I find difficult.
But there's that film Parasite, which won the best.
Yeah.
Was the first foreign language film, which has led a lot of people to watching foreign language films with subtitles in the cinema and at home. And it's like, I know if you've tried it and it doesn't work for you, then fine. But a lot of people just already had that kind of roadblock of like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So many amazing.
Not have to read.
Oh, there are so many. Films. Totally. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on Netflix, look, I'm going to reveal something. I have a bit of an obsession with
what?
Honestly, I find it quite embarrassing to say it. And my friend Tembi, I think we stayed in so many nights watching things about being incarcerated in America. What? Like, so women incarcerated in jails, Britain's hardest jails, America's hardest jails.
Just jails specifically.
Oh my God. I have watched hundreds of hours. So with me and my friend Tembi, where we've ever
There's
had
so
kind
many
of
good things.
Oh, but I love them. I love them. I find them fascinating because they, it's like a look into like real life. I don't know why I find it really fascinating. I love them.
Well, true crime is like generally, and I guess that'd be a subset of true crime. Yeah. True crime is like one of the biggest genres for documentaries, for dramatizations, and also for podcasts as well.
Yeah.
So it is generally a fascinating thing. What happens there? And I guess often you kind of gravitate to the thing that hopefully you'll never be a part of.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
It's like watching the car crash, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I love them.
Like Tiger King. I like that.
Well, there you go. So I've just thought of a couple of films. Like Clueless is on Netflix.
I've watched that with the girls.
Out and out classic.
So when you go on to there's certain things that were on Amazon Prime that you have to pay like $17.99 for, and then I think your tip earlier I think is really good, because that's where I struggle. I've gone through so many lists of things that I want to watch, but they're expensive on one thing and they're not on another. And then you're like, oh, it's just like confusing. I think your tip earlier of putting in what you want to watch and it'll just pop up with where it is. Otherwise, you spend a fortune.
Is there one that...
Honestly, that has saved me money because until I found it, I was like, oh, it's on iTunes. I'll just buy it.
That's what I'm like.
Because then I started watching Scrubs again because there's a Scrubs podcast out. And initially I just went, I don't know why I didn't use that app that I'd tell people about, but I was like, oh, it's on iTunes, I'll buy it on iTunes. And then I was like, why don't I just try the app, and it's all there on all four for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck it.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's still great. It's still really good fun.
Is there something that suggests films? Because that's my thing. Is like, we'll be like, what do you want to watch? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Well, this app, it does have like a, it asks you your favourite kind of films.
Yeah. Oh, okay, and, cool.
It's, at the start, it says, do you like Lion King? Do you like Lord of the Rings? Yeah. And you just tap the ones you like. And it uses that to maybe suggest stuff to you.
Oh, that's good.
I don't really use that side of things. But yeah, try it and see if it works.
We'll let you know how it is.
My life. Yeah.
I know it will, definitely. It might stop a few arguments as well, to be honest.
I doubt that.
Yeah, absolutely. And save your money and all these things.
Totally.
So who you got next on your podcast?
We have got what going out as an episode. Yeah. Well, today, as we record, we just had two of the guys from Empire magazine.
Oh, wow.
Chris Hugh and James Dyer. And we reviewed the film. It was, where's my brain gone? The film was The Fugitive.
Actually,
that is an equal higher score with When Harry Met Sally. So yeah, what's The Fugitive?
I remember watching that, and I did love it when it first came out. I did.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
I actually remember where I was and when I watched it. It's quite a memorable film, I think.
It is, and I'd only watched it once when it first came out, so it was really cool. And that's one great thing for us with our show is that Helen and I don't pick the films. It's you guys.
Yeah, when you
guys come on, you pick the film, so we just have to deal with whatever you pick.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's great. But what it really does is like broadens the range of films that myself and Helen would choose. So it's kind of selfish, really. That's a very good idea
for a podcast.
Totally.
Thank you.
I'll come on yours, and I'll give you Twin Town, which is a Welsh film. Have you seen that?
Is it on Netflix though?
No, it's not. I don't think it is actually. I might use your app.
Reese Evans, isn't it?
It's hilarious. It's about Swansea. Yeah. Pretty shitty city.
City.
There we go.
Oh, God, I'll have to have a think about that. Oh, lovely. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
No worries.
We've really enjoyed having you on, definitely. And congratulations to you and your wife and Milo. What amazing news. And
thank you so much. Yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah, hopefully.
So hopefully was he born on the 16th?
He was born on the 20th.
20th.
So it's nearly 4 months then.
Yeah. I think it's 11 as we record. 11 weeks.
Oh, bless him. Oh, give him a big squeeze from me and Auntie Amy.
I will do.
Yeah? Thank you.
I'm impressed. I've got to say, I'm impressed at the research you've done.
See?
Looking at my Instagram.
Thank you very much, yeah.
See, we'll refer everybody to you now for Netflix originals and for your social media marketing genius.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people, I do generally enjoy talking about all that kind of stuff. So if anyone has a genuine question and I've got like an hour to kill, then I'm happy to
I'll be honest with you, that's been quite interesting for us because we have quite a broad range of listeners. So, it's just really interesting to hear people's lives and what they do in their day jobs because not everybody, you know, does podcasts for their day job. So it's interesting. That's what I like most about it.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for inviting me on.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye.
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 So?
What's that for?
Because I'm excited, because he literally changed my life. When we had that conversation and he said about the Just Watch thing.
Just Watch. I used it changed last my night, life, man. I watched Girl Trip last night.
Oh, I don't know. What's that? I've not seen that.
With Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Is it good?
Do you know what? There are parts of it that are hilarious. And I am not joking. I look at Queen Latifah and I was on my own watching it. And all I kept saying is, oh my God, you're just so beautiful. You're just fucking stunning.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's not young anymore.
No, she's
but
not.
She is just so beautiful. And do you remember MC Light? I still really love MC Light in my day.
I do remember MC Light.
Do you want to see her now?
Really?
She looks like she's about 30.
Really?
They look
Yeah, incredible.
Banging. I'll have to check that out.
Quillity for in it as well, funny. But there's another girl in it who's just makes you die of laughter. I was laughing out loud on my own in here, yeah.
Oh, I need a funny film.
Yeah, but I did use that thing to check where it was free and where I could get it from.
It's amazing. It's changed my life.
I know.
But yeah, what a lovely guy. I can't wait for us to go on his podcast.
I know, definitely. So names. Amy's literally working me till I've got no more... Nothing left in me. I've got no more creative juices.
Look, I want to be on a yacht when I'm 50. However I get there, you know what I mean?
I think you might have to go to drastic measures, Amy.
I just need a sugar daddy.
I'm not sure if the Mama Mama Pod is going to get you anything more than £64 every month. But, you know, that could get you a yacht, but one from Poundland.
Not buying a yacht. I'm not buying a yacht. I just want to be on one when I'm 50. So it's got to be a mate or a friend of a friend.
Well, you better find one, hurry up.
That's what I'll need to
get
find
on
someone.
Our podcast.
Yeah.
We need to get some names on, and then we could, like, you know.
Friend them up.
Yeah, like, what are you doing in 2021 in January? Just after Christmas. Our Amy will be 50 then.
2021, you prick. That's next year.
I won't do
whatever. Whatever.
Well, we hope you enjoyed it anyway.
Check out Flix Watcher. Subscribe to our podcast, please. And give us a shout.
Enjoy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.